couple of scriptures to you this morning. I won't be long. Continue to pray. I've gotten word that some of our friends in Texas, they're really going through it there with the ice storm that's just paralyzed them there. And they're not used to that like we are. If we had it up here, it'd just be another day. But down there, everything is shut down all across that vein down south there. So just remember them. And also, right after service today, everyone that you're welcome to go next door. The Family and Marriage Ministry has put on a great luncheon, and they're going to have three very gifted, anointed speakers lined up to speak as well. Now, they won't be 30 minutes speakers, so don't think, my goodness, we won't be out of there until 6 o'clock tonight. Robin and Lenny, they'll do it. Excellence. And they want to see you over there. So that'd be right after service, right next door. They've made provision for childcare, so you don't have to let that worry you either. They're here to help you. Aren't you glad for people that will come alongside with a vision to help you and I? Amen. We need that in our lives. You'll come to a place in your life, and you might sit there. I remember when I was young, strong and arrogant, I used to say, I don't need nobody. Has anybody ever said that, or am I the only one that's been an idiot and said something like that? I said that and everybody's hand went down. You need people. You need others. You'll get to a place in your life, you'll be hurting, you'll go through something, and you'll say, I need somebody in my life. And I'm thankful for people like that. Brad and Kelly, Ron and Barb, Wayne and Shawnee, all these people that are here to help you, to bless you, to come alongside of you. Amen. Let's give them a big God bless you this morning. Come on, put your hands together. Thank God for great relationships. Father, today I thank you, Lord, for your intention in this house, for what you're going to do, what your plan. It's already in place, and we rest in it. I thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, in just a moment, did you ever feel sometime in your life that you are not good enough for God? Like you don't have what it takes to do what you feel like God is asking you to do. Well, if you do, you're not alone. And last week we saw and looked at these two different women, actually two different couples, one in particular, Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias, who when they were in their early to middle 60s, God said to them, you're going to have a child. When the world and when they even thought that nothing could ever happen in their lives anymore, God brings life to barren places. How many of you are thankful about that today? And we learned that no matter who you are or where you are in life, that God will always bring life to your situation when we allow him to. And then we begin to see the picture of this teenager who was chosen by God to bring forth the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And as we travel on this journey to Bethlehem, it appears so interesting to recognize some of the details that are on this journey. When everyone is hoping that the Messiah and believing that he will come, they never thought that he'd come the way that he did come. Maybe he would come through some of the religious leaders. Maybe he would come through some of the more wealthy. But the Bible says that he didn't come that way. He came in a different form. And when we look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, we look and the scripture gives us some details to how he came, and they're very notable for us to remember and look at this morning. In Luke 1:26, I begin reading, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, I want you to remember that, Nazareth. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And what a promise that the Messiah would come, and God had called Mary to be his mother, to carry who would be called the Redeemer of the world, the Redeemer of mankind. But, you know, as I begin to ponder this, that she's from Nazareth, the Holy Spirit just illuminated to me. And when you look at that and you think about where they're from, maybe you could just glass over and think, oh, it's just some nice religious village that God chose. But not really. You know, as I thought about it, I thought, you know, when you are meeting someone maybe for the first time, you may introduce yourself, and the next thing that you may say to them is, where are you from? And it's connected, and we have this association with people as where they're from, as how they will be. We think of people in many different ways. You know, we have the tendency to draw a conclusion on who a person is by where they are from. I always use and joke around, Lenny Brill and myself, could anything good come out of South Byron, New York? Because if you think about South Byron, the first thing that comes to my mind, well, I don't want to tell you what comes to my mind, but anyways, I remember when we were sending Garrett to Los Angeles, and I was getting some counsel from some people out west. It'd be a great place. He'll grow. He'll develop. And I thought, I don't want to send him to L.A. He'll come back with his hair in different colors, and he'll have rings all over his body. And because I associated what I thought L.A. would be, which was nothing, couldn't have been farther from the truth. You know, if you meet someone, and you don't know, but you know an area, and they say, you say, where are you from? They say, I'm from Elba, New York. The first thing most people think about is a muck farmer. You must be a farmer if you're from Elba. I thought I'd look to find out what the consensus of the rudest city in the world, and they call it New York City. They also call New York City the greatest city in the world. But people associate who you are many times from where you come from. Are you listening to me today? And Nazareth is one of those places that the historians say was not a nice place to have come from. In fact, it was recognized back then as the red light district. It's a place where the Roman soldiers would go if they had time off. They would spend their money. They would find not good relationships with other women. And it was a place of drunkenness. And it was never looked upon as anything good could ever come about or be from a place called Nazareth. A place called Nazareth, nothing good happens. No one of distinction lives there, and nothing of any importance has ever arisen from there. And it seems highly unlikely that a place like Nazareth is a place where the Messiah would come from, or that God would choose him to come from. If you were looking for a great place, you would look for a place that maybe one of the prophets had talked about. Maybe he would come out of Jerusalem. But no, God chooses the town of Nazareth. And do you know that the world is full of unlikely places where nothing much seems to happen, and for sure, nothing good ever happens. No great universities, no great companies, no commerce, but tiny little places where few people live, and maybe there's trouble. And there are not only places like that, but they carry a reputation with them and people that are from there as well. And I would, if I could just for a moment use my own name. When I was a kid, everybody knew that my name was associated with nothing good. Alcoholism, broken families, trouble, all the time, just trouble. If you heard the name McDonald in South Byron, you knew that's trouble. It's either alcoholism, it's either broken family, it's legal problem, whatever. You can associate it. And this, though, is what Jesus has come to do. He has not just come in a beautiful flowing robe for you to meet up to where he is at. The Bible says that when He came into the world, He reached so deep into darkness and so deep into a culture that was satiated and recognized for trouble and problems. He reached so deep into that that no one could ever say, I'm not good enough for this Jesus. Because He's come to touch the brokenhearted. And He wasn't ashamed to be from Nazareth either. In fact, if you look in the scripture later on in Jesus' life, He had a great man that would travel with Him. In John 1:44, the Bible says that Philip, he is out and he finds a man by the name of Nathanael, and he says to him, he says, we have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And I love what Nathanael said. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
As long as I could remember, we've been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. It's always been that way. I always knew He'd come, but, well, let's be honest. It's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl. A nobody from Nazareth. Everybody knows not much good comes from Nazareth. Never has. I thought for sure that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if this is what God wanted, who was I to tell Him He's wrong? And Joseph, oh God, bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else, sent me away, even had me killed. But He never broke His promise to marry me. So when He went to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride at His side. Even with heartburn, bloated cankles, and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those pregnant women who try different things to induce labor? Like taking frequent walks or eating spicy food. What they should do is set out on a 70-mile bumpy trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after we arrived, well, I had never done this myself before, but it was time. With each wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that I'd be having this baby without my family to help me, without the familiarity of home. When Jesus was finally born, I forgot all that, though. I wrapped Him in cloths and made the most comfortable bed out of the only thing we had, an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at Him. There He was, the one the angel told me about. My heart was so full, but none of my words were big enough to express it. I wasn't the first young mother to bring a child into the world. It's always been that way. But as I looked out at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that He would be the one to change everything. Because He had already changed me.
Isn't that precious? I feel like I'm right there. And you need to know at every turn, God upsets our human prejudice and overthrows our preconceptions. And He doesn't play to just our expectations. He will take you and you and you and you, and he will make all things new, because the Bible says that nothing is impossible for God. Aren't you glad for that today? And the reality is that because the baby has come, he's changed everything. And, you know, oh, that statement that Nathaniel said to Philip, he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And here's what, I love what Philip said. And this is what I want you to hear today. And if you don't hear anything else, if you don't remember anything else, this is what you need to hear. Philip said to him, come and see. And who am I talking to today that you have stood on the sideline and you really haven't stepped into knowing who he is? And Philip, if he was here, he'd say this to you as well today. Come and see. And then we learn in the story about Joseph. I mean, you talk about confusing. Can you imagine? He's the stepdad of Jesus Christ. And having to deal with all the talk that was going on about Mary. Remember, she come from Nazareth, a place that was very well noted for the lifestyles that many led. And here, all of a sudden, she shows herself pregnant. And it's amazing in itself that Joseph would even step in to take on this task, because the Bible says that he was betrothed to Mary. And when you look at this, the relationships at that day were like this. It wasn't just, oh, we're going to date and then we're going to get married. No, there's three levels. There's, number one, there's the engagement that would happen when the bride and the groom were very young, and it usually came from an arranged marriage by the parents. And then there was the betrothal. This made the engagement official. And during the time of betrothal, the couple were recognized as husband and wife. Not intimate, but the only way that that betrothal could be broken was through divorce. And it lasted a year. And then there was marriage that took place after the wedding, after a year of betrothal. And Matthew records that when Joseph heard that Mary was pregnant during this interim time, that he thought that maybe he should pull her away. He didn't want to disconnect with her because she was pregnant, but he knew all the scorn and the criticism that would come their way, until the Bible says in Matthew, the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says to him, Joseph, Joseph, the one Mary whom you will marry, she is with child, and she is carrying this child, has conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that she will bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. As he did then, does he now? Wow. When you read that, it's so powerful. And this is the way Luke records it in Luke 1:34. He says, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be? I don't know a man. I haven't been with anybody. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the highest, he will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Well, it was the longest, most difficult, scariest, exciting, confusing, and the most wonderful day of my life. I mean, when you realize that God has allowed you to become a father, there's nothing I can compare that to. But when he deems you fit to be the stepfather to his son, that's a bit overwhelming. He's a perfectly healthy, happy baby boy, born like most every other baby. Now, I know why they call it labor. I mean, I've worked every day since I was 12 years old. But never in my life have I worked as hard as Mary did that night. And Mary, she was amazing. Through all of it, not just the birth, but all of those months of people talking about us behind our backs, the week-long journey to Bethlehem, and after all of that, I watched as she takes this feeding trough and turns it into a cradle. And it didn't even faze her. She's amazing. And you know, through it all, she never asked why. She just did everything that God told her to do. Even if she didn't understand everything that was happening. The thing that she did know, though, was that God was in control. And she was open to His will. Now, I know why God chose her. I really do. The thing that I just can't figure out is why He chose me.
It's a sombering thought, isn't it? Why would God choose him? Why would God choose you? Why would he choose me? I want to leave you with three thoughts today. I want you to consider this, and you say, you know, all this is good, Christmas time, Mary, Joseph, we understand all that, but how can that help me? Debbie, if you'd slip over to the keyboard as I'm getting ready to close here. How can I apply this? Number one, that no matter where you have come from or what your background is, he has already touched it. He's already been there. The Bible says that he's been touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He knows all about it. He's capable of handling it and dealing with it. You know, when I came in here this morning and I shared this early, that sometimes we get caught up as to where we've been and what we've been through and the hurt that we've experienced. And I'm going to tell you something. If I let that in my own life, if I let it have a grip on me, I would be in a basket. And I think about some of the pain and some of the loss and the hurt. If I was to dwell on that, and if I didn't think that he was bigger than that, oh, he didn't create any of it. But he's there to help me through it and you as well. No matter where you've come from. You say, I've been to a place, I grew up in a Nazareth. He's been there. He's touched it. He's able. Second thing is, listen to this, that when you and I have faith in God and open our lives to the Holy Spirit, He moves in. And the issues that you're dealing with, they move out. When you continually try to do things in your own power, in your own strength, my brother and sister, you'll never make anywhere. If you try to keep on doing it and trying to make it happen in your own ability, you're just going to spin your wheels all the time. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be lonely. You're going to feel broken. You're going to feel left out. You can't do it in your own strength. You and I need to ask God's Holy Spirit, come in and help me and take over my life. Some of you, you're here today. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never made that decision. You say, religion, that's for weak people. You better believe it is. Yeah, it is. But it's for tough, strong guys too. It's for all. It's for everyone. And you need him. If you've never given your life to him, what a present that you could get this year. It's to give your life to Jesus. And number three, how does this affect me? Just what Philip said to Nathanael. He said, come and see. I want to invite you to come and see the Lord. In a way, maybe you've never experienced or seen him before. Maybe you've got everything figured out. But you know what I find out in life? That when I think I got it all figured out, it doesn't work as good as what I thought it was gonna. When I got it all worked out, like I know this is going to happen. I got this worked out. And if I do this and that, this is going to happen. No. Doesn't. Yeah, but I'd planned that. The best laid plans of man are futile at best. You need Jesus. I'm talking to some husbands and wives today. You need Him in your home, in your family. Moms and dads, you need Jesus in your family. You need to come and see Him. Not just on a cross, you need to see Him, that He's come in a manger and He lives today to help you, to be a part of your life. And He's chosen and He loves you beyond whatever. You may have come in today and you may think, nobody likes me, nobody loves me. I'm all alone. I feel broken. I feel disconnected. I feel pain. I want you to know Jesus loves you. He cares for you. And if nothing else you hear, come and see this Jesus. Ooh, I love that. Come and see this Jesus. Come on. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together and give God praise in His house. We love you, Lord. Close your eyes, bow your head with me today. Hallelujah. Beautiful Savior. Beautiful Lord. God, I know you're just laying on some hearts and lives. I'd like the prayer team to come down. This, I know, will be for some. Although it is appearing to be one of the most difficult, God, it can be one of the greatest. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. And just one moment. He so cares for you. I got the word this morning as I was greeting in the back that a family member lost some relation, a young man. Just a young man committed suicide. So tragic. But Jesus has come to help you. And when I heard that, I couldn't get that out of my spirit that maybe some here today, you're so depressed, you feel so alone or so disconnected when everybody is walking around and they're excited and playing Christmas music. You just want to go and crawl into a hole somewhere. God has come. And He's saying to you, come and see. Come and see today. Dad, this could be your defining moment. You could put some things away. You could lay some things down that you've put an emphasis on and begin to put the emphasis on Jesus. You know what? You know what I've learned? That when I trust Him and love Jesus more, then I love my family more. And my family, they love me more. Moms, hear me. Don't get sidetracked in a whole lot of stuff. Let Him be first in your life. When He's first, everything else falls into place. Young person here today, believe it or not, I was younger once. Thought I had everything worked out, planned out. Nothing that I planned worked. But when Jesus became a part of my life, He took me beyond my plans and took me into my dreams. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that before you leave today. Somebody down front here would love to pray for you. All you have to do, I'm going to close here in a moment. I'm going to pray. All you have to do is come down and say, I want Christ in my heart. They'll pray for you right here. Your life will change. The Holy Spirit will begin to work in you. You'll see things before you completely different. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for my family, my brothers and my sisters today. Your hand to be upon their lives. For You to do them good, for Your blessing to overtake them. I pray for that one or ones that do not know You as Savior and Lord today, that before they leave, they will make that commitment to You. And God, for those who are struggling today, those who are going through this dark season in their life, I pray, God, they will come and see the light of the world. I pray blessing, I pray hope and peace over every single one here today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. God bless you. If you need prayer, if you want to give your life to Christ, don't leave. You come down here today. There are people are here. They love you. They want to pray for you, believe God with you. Go in His grace today. God loves you so much.